while Ardsdale Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
Hey, good morning, church. I know some of you may be a bit surprised that I'm up here. I'm equally surprised, but of course, let God's will be done always. Amen. So as you know, we have been journeying through our sermon series called Heaven on Earth, and we're now in the third week of that series. And we just need to understand and reflect about the foundation of the Christmas story. So as we've already been told, our main scripture for today is Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. And ultimately, that is just when the wise men went to visit Jesus soon after he had just been born. Okay, so I don't know if many of you have seen this play. Has anybody seen this play? Yeah, it's quite a well-known play, and it is all based around Matthew, I'd say, our main scripture. And it gives us a good insight to the foundation of the Christmas story. And you'd know many of the novels and the plays, they all have similar characters. So you'd have somebody dressed up as Mary, Joseph, the wise men, and sometimes even a star, as you can see there. So, and as we go through Matthew today, you will see why those characters are really important in these plays and in these novels. And I guess over time, the foundation of the Christmas story has been modified a bit and interpreted a bit differently over time. And that's why it's always good to go back to Matthew and reflect on what the foundation of the Christmas story actually entails. But as I was researching for this sermon, I looked up what other people think about the Christmas story and what they think it entails. And one young boy actually said, it's something to do with three wise men bringing Jesus some gold stuff, but Lego would have been a much better gift. So that's what he believes, which is his interpretation. But today, as I said, we will go into Matthew ourselves and actually try to understand the foundation of the Christmas story. But as we journey through it, I want you to pay close attention to the different way in which the different characters responded to the birth of Jesus. And you should also reflect yourself on your response to Christmas. So what is on the forefront of your mind during this Christmas period? As we know, Christmas is a really important time of year, and it's definitely one of my favorite times of year. We know we get presents, we give presents, we have our food, and you know, your mum cooks so much food that you have leftovers for the next week. Nobody needs to cook anything. So it's just a really good time of year. However, the most important thing about Christmas is the birth of Jesus. And we shouldn't forget that. So the birth of Jesus is really significant. It wasn't an ordinary birth, and we know that it's really important. I just want to give an overview, just one key reason why it was so important. And we know Jesus came on this earth just like how we are today. He walked around, he was tempted a few times, but he overcame everything. And he shows us how to live the perfect life here on earth. He came here as our prime example to live a perfect life. And I've just got up there that the birth of Jesus and then to redeem mankind. Ultimately, Jesus is here to redeem mankind. And before we go into Matthew, I just want to take us quickly back to Adam and Eve, and I'll show you how it links to the significance of the birth of Jesus. So when God made Adam and Eve, everything was perfect. They were in the perfect garden. All they had to do really was to obey God. That's all they had to do. But they did what we all do today, and they sinned and they disobeyed God. So Jesus coming here, he has redeemed mankind, because although we still sin today, each and every one of us, each and every day, Jesus has come here so that we're now able to repent and ask for forgiveness for our sins. And Jesus tells us in Psalm 103, verse 12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." So that in itself gives you one key reason why the birth of Jesus is so significant. We're no longer slaves to sin because of Jesus Christ. And these are the things that we want to be reflecting on over the Christmas period. So if we go on to our main scripture for today, which we said is Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12, and just have a bit of background about the setting and where we are at this point. So we know that not long back, Mary had just been told that she is going to have a son and she should name him Jesus. And of course, because she was a virgin, it caused a bit of confusion between her and Joseph. But eventually, Jesus was born, and he was born in Bethlehem. And this was a town very near to Jerusalem, and this was the hometown of King David. And this is really significant in itself, because in the Old Testament, I think it was in Micah in the Old Testament, it says, "Out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." So that in itself in the Old Testament tells us that the Messiah will be born in Bethlehem. So everybody already knew that this was going to happen. So in Matthew, it's basically telling us how Jesus has fulfilled this prophecy from the Old Testament. And also at this time, Herod was king. He was king, but he was a really paranoid king. So he wanted to stay in his position. He didn't want anybody to try and jeopardize his position. And if he felt like somebody would jeopardize his place, he would do everything that he can to eradicate them, make sure they're out of his way. So let's get on to our main scripture, which was read for us earlier. And I've just separated out the key subsections so it's easy for you to follow along. I'll just give a quick overview of our scripture for today. So once Jesus was born in Bethlehem, it was sort of like news going around the town. And the wise men, they were obviously talking about it, saying that they wanted to go and see the child that's just been born. And King Herod overhears them talking about this. And scripture tells us that he was troubled. That's really important, that he was troubled. Remember, Jesus was still just a child at this point, and he was troubled by a child being born. And he knew that he was the Messiah. That's why it was so troubling to him, because he didn't want anybody to take his place. So at this point, he turned to his religious leaders, and he's asking them, where is the Messiah being born? Because he says he wants to go and worship him himself. That's what he tells religious leaders. And they respond to him that the Messiah is going to be born in Bethlehem. So quickly, King Herod goes to the wise men and he says to them that they should go and locate where this child is being born and then come back to report to him so that he can then worship the Messiah. So of course, the wise men went on their way, they followed the star and they located where the child was being born. And as soon as they got to Jesus, they instantly fell and they worshipped him. And once they worshipped him, they then gave the gifts, as we know, frankincense, myrrh, and gold. And then they had a dream which told them to not go back to King Herod and report where Jesus was born, but instead to just go the opposite direction and just go on their way. So that is an overview of our main scripture. So now we're going to go deeper into the scripture. But as I said, I want you to just pay close attention to how each of these different people and groups of people responded to the birth of Jesus. So firstly, we have the religious leaders, and their response was quite interesting. So remember, as soon as King Herod knew that Jesus was born, he straight away asked the religious leaders the location and where Jesus was born. And they responded with the right answer. So they told King Herod that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. So that in itself tells us that the religious leaders know that Jesus is the Messiah. So they gave the right answer, but that doesn't mean that they responded correctly. Nowhere in the scripture does it tell us that they rejoiced over the birth of Jesus. They didn't go and visit him. They didn't worship him. They were not joyous about it. So they had the right answer. They knew that he was the Messiah, but they didn't show that in their acts at all. And then let's look at how King Herod responded to the birth of Jesus. In the beginning, remember he said that he wanted to go and worship Jesus. That's what he told the wise men. So from the outside, that could look like he's given the right response. He wants to go and worship the Messiah. But we know that he wasn't sincere at all in what he said he was going to do. They were not his true intentions. And I guess we could assume that because of the dream that the wise men had. So remember in the dream for the wise men, the dream told the wise men to not go back to King Herod and tell him where Jesus was born, but instead to go off in the other direction. So we can assume that maybe if King Herod was brought to Jesus, he would then kill him and eradicate him just to make sure his position was secure as king. And a second reason as to why we know that King Herod wasn't sincere at all is a few verses later, in about verse 16, that's when King Herod commanded that all the young boys would be killed. And again, that tells us why his intentions were not true. But lastly, let's look at the response from the wise men. So as soon as they knew that Jesus was born, we were told that they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. So they were already very joyous even before they went to visit Jesus. And when they went to Jesus, remember, they fell straight to their knees and they worshipped him. And the wise men displayed three great factors. So they displayed humility, obedience, and the act of giving. So as I said, when they first met Jesus as a child being born, they straight away fell to their knees and they worshipped him. And this displays their humility. And humility is really important even for ourselves when we are worshipping God. We need to worship him wholeheartedly and wholly. We shouldn't let our pride or anything else get in the way. And this all starts from just believing everything that God tells us. And secondly, they displayed obedience. So although King Herod told them to report back to him, they then had the dream, which we could say is from God, and they listened to the dream. And this is something that's really important for us today, because sometimes God tells us to do one thing and we go and do another because we feel like we know best. But we can't forget that God is our creator, so he will always know what's best for us. In John 14, Jesus tells us, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." And we need to demonstrate our love for Jesus through our obedience towards him. Because sometimes God can tell us something about ourselves or something to do, and we may not see that, and we can find it difficult to understand that. But it's okay to not always comprehend what God wants us to do. We should just trust in him to know that he knows what's best for us. I understand that, especially in today's society, it could be hard to get, you know, we can get distracted a lot. There's a lot of things to distract us, you know, money, having a new job, and maybe we pray less to God because we've received what we wanted, but we should always try to keep him first. Like, even me standing up here, this was definitely God's will, because I just can't comprehend even me being up here. I thought I'd only be up here maybe for my baptism and my wedding in a few years, but to preach, not to preach. And I've got this picture of a Lego building up here. So do you know when you're like building a Lego, you have created that Lego building? And that's the same with God. He has created us. So he knows our ins and our outs. He knows our mechanisms. He knows us more than we know ourselves. So that's just a sort of analogy for you to remember that he knows us more than we know ourselves. But lastly, remember we said that there were gifts given to Jesus by the wise men. So I've just got a picture up there of myrrh, gold, and frankincense. So these were the gifts that the wise men gave to Jesus. And as we know, during Christmas, gifts are a really important aspect. So we give gifts and we receive gifts. And these gifts are really symbolic, I'd say. So firstly, the myrrh represents the humanity of Jesus and death. The gold represents royalty and emphasizes his ruling over the kingdom. And lastly, the frankincense represents Jesus being worshipped as God. So altogether, this highlights that Jesus is man, king, and God. And I'll just repeat the symbolism again. So the myrrh represents that Jesus, his humanity and death. The frankincense represents that Jesus is being worshipped as God. And the gold represents the royalty and emphasizes his ruling over the kingdom. So Jesus is man, king, and God all in one. But the same way that the wise men offered these gifts to Jesus, we should also try and offer our lives as gifts to God. And this is something that I personally have struggled with, knowing what my talents and gifts are and how I can use it to glorify God. Because I remember even just before my baptism, and I'd asked Pastor Jasmine, what are my talents and how can I use them? And it took a lot of prayer and patience, but I definitely got there. So I think this is a really important aspect for all of us to try and think about what our talents are and then how we can use that to glorify God. And I want us to just take a few moments to talk to the person beside you about what you think your talents are and then how do you think you can use them to glorify the name of Jesus. Okay, so I hope everybody has had a chance to discuss what they think their talents are, and most importantly, how you can use your talents to glorify God. Because you could be good at music or cooking or helping people, and those can definitely be used to glorify God. It may take you longer than others to decide what your talents are, but that's fine. All you need to do is just continuously pray and ask God to guide you, and you will get there soon. As I said, it is really easy to get distracted in today's world, but we just need to make sure that we remain focused on Jesus. But it doesn't always have to be through your talents. There could be simpler acts that you could do, such as displaying love or just being obedient. As you know, the fruits of the Spirit, and we even have it on our poster there. We can just display these different simple acts and let people see Jesus in you. You don't necessarily always have to say things or do something really big, but just let people see Jesus shining through you and make sure to keep Jesus on the throne of your hearts. And I just have a few things for you to think about over the week, as I said. So although you have discussed it today, you can bring it with you throughout the week. So you, as I said, you'd want to think about what your talents are that God has given you to release his kingdom here on earth, and for you to also ask for his guidance on how you can use these gifts. And lastly, what are you reflecting on this Christmas? Yes, we have a lot of presents and food, but make sure your focus is on Jesus and his birth. So this is the phrase that I want you to take with you throughout the next week. So you should take your 5 loaves of bread and your 2 fish and multiply it to feed thousands of souls.
We trust that you've been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information, or to follow up on what you've heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.